Yeah, well, there's a lot of benefits for being in the program. The first one is that they save on energy cost. If they do all the practices that we talk about in Green Biz Tracker, they will save money on energy cost. They will also save money likely on water, and they'll also save money on their waste bill. And so there are cost savings, and money saved is money earned. So that's very good for the businesses. But there's a lot of promotional opportunities as well.
You're listening to the R10 Reno podcast with KWNK LP 97.7 FM in Reno, Nevada. I'm your host, Jacob Kosachowski, and the clip you just heard was from an interview Gaia Osborne did with Donna Walden, the founder of GreenUp. GreenUp is a local nonprofit that helps businesses implement the best environmental practices that they can have. We will get to all that and more, but first, a word from our sponsor, and we'll get right back into the episode.
Media Lab.
Podcast.
Client Services.
Special Projects.
Documentaries.
We are a production center at the Reynolds School of Journalism.
The Reynolds Media Lab.
Media Lab.
Media Lab.
This is Gaia Osborne reporting for Our Town Reno. I am here in Carson City with Donna Walden, the president of the GreenUp Board. Thank you for speaking with me today, Donna. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your involvement with GreenUp?
Sure. Well, thank you very much, Gaia, for having me here today. So GreenUp is an environmental nonprofit. We provide environmental education to businesses, helping Nevada cut down on waste, reduce valuable resource consumption, and fight climate change. So that's our mission. GreenUp's been around since the 90s. But most recently, we're known for our work with the Nevada Green Business Program and for the green dining work that we're doing. So in terms of the Green Business Program, GreenUp partnered with Western Nevada College to receive federal funding, and we received funding from Environmental Protection Agency to start a Green Business Program for the state of Nevada and to build a database to collect environmental outcome measures. So that was in 2019. We brought on partners, and we have seven partners. Do you want me to mention them? Okay, Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, Keep Truckee Meadows Beautiful, Envirolution, Incline Village General Improvement District, Nevada Conservation League, which is a Southern Nevada organization, the Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce, and the City of Reno. And I hope I didn't forget anyone, but those are our partners. We all work together to build the Green Business Program across the state.
So could you talk a little bit more about how the Green Business Program works in terms of the online directory and how the community, people in the community, the consumers can be involved with the Green Business Program?
Sure, absolutely. So the Green Business Program is targeted towards businesses of all sectors throughout Nevada. And we're targeting small to medium businesses. Big companies usually have large sustainability teams like your Patagonias. Mm-hmm. And they're probably not going to learn anything new from us. But so our sweet spot is small to medium businesses. And they go online to a database called Green Biz Tracker, and it's nv.greenbiztracker.org, and they register to become a green business. Once they register, one of our green business advisors, and I mentioned all the partners just recently, contact them and they say, hey, can I help you with the certification process? And it's relatively easy, but you know how businesses are. Mm-hmm. They have to go online and it's something new. And so they help them go through the checklist. And there's about, so it's sector specific. Each checklist is unique to that sector. And we have 30 different checklists. And then we have an office retail that is common to, well, that's kind of the catch-all for if a business doesn't fit in one of the manufacturing sectors. Mm-hmm. And so they go online. We help them through. There's about 30 actions that they have to take, and they just fill out information such as how many LED lights do you have? What kind of water savings practices do you practice? Do you use energy efficient appliances? Things like that. And there's seven different categories, and the categories are pollution prevention, water, wastewater, transportation, energy, and waste. And I hope I got all those. But so they go through all those, and they have core and optional measures or that they take. And so there's a certain number of core measures that they must do, such as, do you have a sustainability plan for your company? You know, that's an obvious thing. And we even have a template that they can use if they want to know what a sustainability plan looks like. Do you have signage, recycling signage at your building? Do you have that you're a sustainable company up on your website? So there are many, many different measures that they go down, or actually it's about 30. And they go through it. And after they're done with the checklist, we have three tiers. Tier one is pretty easy to pass. It's we're really looking for businesses with their heart. They care about sustainability. Mm-hmm. They want to know, what more can I do to help keep Nevada beautiful for future generations? But they have to, we also do a compliance check to make sure they're not out of compliance with any environmental measures.
So is it the businesses, they're approaching you wanting to get involved? It's not you going to the businesses?
A little bit both ways. Okay. I mean, we do recruit somewhat, but a lot of any business who's interested can go online and just register.
Yeah.
And so some of the businesses register because they saw some promotion or press release. Or word of mouth. They just heard about the program. And the ones we're working with, they already have their mindset on sustainability. Nowadays, we're not twisting anybody's arms. Mm-hmm. And even though there are cost savings and cost benefits to businesses, most of them are just doing it because they want to do something to preserve the planet. And so we call them low-hanging fruit, but these are businesses who care about the environment. They sign up. We don't have to convince them very much.
There's not much, apart from helping the environment, do they have any other motives behind wanting to join? Like, what kind of advantages do they gain from being part of the program?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of benefits for being in the program. The first one is that they save on energy cost. Mm-hmm. If they do all the practices that we talk about in Green Biz Tracker, they will save money on energy cost. They will also save money likely on water, and they'll also save money on their waste bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are cost savings, and money saved is money earned. So that's very good for the businesses. But there's a lot of promotional opportunities as well. They get to be listed on a nationwide directory of green business programs.
Yeah.
And that's pretty significant. So if someone's coming to Reno and they want to find a green restaurant, they would go on Green Biz Tracker and look for it. And we do a lot to promote them. We give them a window cling and a certificate. We also do a lot of social media around the businesses. So we promote them, but they also promote themselves.
Yeah.
And nowadays, customers care that businesses are green.
So the consumers, the role they have in the Green Business Directory, is there a forum for them to add comments or display their thoughts on the businesses?
Well, there would be on the social media that we put out, and the businesses do their own social media.
Yeah.
So they could do that, but there have been studies that show that two-thirds of all nationwide American consumers would pay more for a green brand. And worldwide, globally, it is 80% of consumers would really want to pay more for a green business. And that's because our consumers care about the environment, and they vote with their dollars. So
I think that's why, like you mentioned earlier with Patagonia, why they're so popular.
Right. Why people pay a lot of good money for very, very good quality products. But part of it has to do with how sustainable they are, and people care. And so do workers. Workers care nowadays, particularly the youth, care that the companies that they're working for have environmentally friendly practices.
Are there any businesses that you've perhaps attempted to recruit or reached out to that just weren't, they were flat out just not interested in participating?
Well, we're so busy right now with the businesses who care that we haven't had that experience yet. I'd say that in the last 3 to 4 years, businesses have really turned around. It seems like many small to medium businesses do care. And I would say that in terms of environmental practices, it might be some of the small businesses just can't afford things like, just say, styrofoam containers. Everybody knows that styrofoam is bad for the environment. Some of the small, but the compostable containers are twice the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an investment. And some of the smaller restaurants, for example, might find that difficult.
Can you, apart from the styrofoam cups, are there any other like simple and easy changes that restaurants, for example, mm-hmm. could implement to become more eco-friendly?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of practices that restaurants can implement. Portion sizes are one thing, like, for example, and some of them do. I'll mention a few businesses, Two Chicks, Squeeze In. They have portion sizes, so does So Juicy here in Carson City. But not everybody wants the full meal. And so it's good when, Grateful Gardens is another good mm-hmm. example. So you go there and you don't have to buy the full meal. You can get a half-size meal, and that saves a lot of waste. It saves a lot of food from ending up in the landfill.
It's funny that you bring that up, though, because just recently I was having a conversation with one of my friends about how the concept of taking a to-go box in England doesn't really exist, because we came down to the conclusion that it was just because the portions they give you are actually the right amount for one sitting. So in England, it's, if you ask a waitress or a waiter for a to-go box, it's pretty bizarre. Like, it's not really commonplace, whereas here it's very commonplace because the portions are so big.
Yeah, it's true. And we need to look at it, and we never ask restaurants to take on practices that are going to lose them money.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we used to have a Basque restaurant, and they're known for giving you lots of food, and that's part of their marketing. But whenever possible, we do recommend portion sizes, and the consumer can bring, they can bring their own container to take the leftovers home.
About the reusable takeout container pilot. That I saw that on the website, and I thought that was very interesting. I've never seen that utilized in any place before, and I think it's very interesting and a very good idea.
Well, so let's distinguish reusable takeout from leftovers. So we don't, because there are health requirements, anyone can bring their own container, scrape off the leftovers into their own container and take it home. The reusable takeout container program is different because it's takeout. And here in Carson City, we're doing a pilot, and we have 4 restaurants in the pilot where you go to a restaurant, you can buy a token, and it's like a library card subscription. So you give them the token, they give you a box, you take it home, you rinse it, you leave it in a box that we have at the restaurants, and they sanitize it and put it back into circulation. So that is going in 4 restaurants in Carson City. It's also going in Reno at Squeeze In. So Squeeze In has a takeout container program in 2 locations. The one near the school, that's North Reno location. When I say school, I meant UNR. Mm-hmm. And then the one in Spark. So there's 2 locations. And we are working to get public support for it because public just have to get used to the idea. Like you said, this is different. You haven't heard of it. People think it's a good idea, but then they actually have to take action, get the token, and then use the container and bring it back. And that's not currently in our culture.
Yeah.
But we're working on it. We got to start somewhere, right?
And Reno's a great place, like, especially if you targeted specifically Midtown, such a small, like a large concentration of restaurants and cafes, and they're all in the same area. If everyone was using these reusable takeout boxes, yeah, it would save a lot of waste.
Yeah, I think Midtown is a good target. I think we should look at that. Thank you for that suggestion.
We'll get back to our episode momentarily, but first, a quick word from other podcasts in Reno you should listen to.
Do you want to keep up on what's happening in the local art community? Double Scoop always has the scoop on that. Want to know which exhibitions, parties, and other art events are happening this weekend? Follow us on Instagram at Double Scoop Nevada and listen to KWNK 97.7 FM for our short scoop art events roundup. If you're an artist and you're looking for places to show your work, we have lots of opportunities listed right now. To find them, visit doublescoop.art/events and filter for Call for Artists. If you'd like to follow all of our art news and meet local artists, you can sign up for our email lists at doublescoop.art.
Do you like podcasts? Well, we have a podcast from you. This is Sean from Up in the Mix.
This is Della Foto. Do you like to get into a random wormholes of conversation?
Do you like to learn about the culture from sneakers to hip hop music to basketball?
Then we have a podcast just for you. We have one called Up in the Mix.
It is available on all streaming platforms from Spotify to Apple. Check us out, upinthemix.live on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Salud.
Welcome back to the Our Town Reno podcast. Let's continue our conversation with Donna Walden.
And so the reusable takeout container pilot, I saw the option of, there was a subscription process. Could you kind of explain how that would work?
Yeah, so currently we have tokens, and mm-hmm. you buy a token for $20 or you get four for $40. It's basically just to encourage people to return the yeah. containers. For the pilot, we've provided the containers to the restaurants for free. But if we don't keep them in circulation, then we've defeated the whole purpose. Mm-hmm. So that's the purpose of the token. Our long-term plan is to get an app so we can keep track of the inventory. But since it's a pilot, we're using a token. And it's $20. And we do a lot of promos where we give the containers or the tokens for free. We've done a number of promos. Our goal is just to get the containers into circulation. Mm.
I think it's a really promising idea if we could expand it in Torino and all these different restaurants. And I think in time, like, it's also educating people and being conscious of, like, every time you take a to-go box, that's a lot of waste. And if you're doing that every time you go out for dinner and everyone in the restaurant's doing it, that's all that styrofoam or all those plastic just thrown away. And mm-hmm. people, I'm sure they don't go home and reuse those, because you can reuse sometimes the plastic mm-hmm. to-go containers, and I'm sure they just throw them away. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad to see.
It is sad, because nowadays, with all the fires mm-hmm. that we have, most people do not deny climate change any yeah. longer. And we really have to do everything we can to preserve our beautiful Nevada.
Mm-hmm. We're in a particularly vulnerable area in terms of how the environment, you know, wildfire yeah. season last year. I mean, this year, arguably, you could say that it was better, but it's still, like, it's not healthy to be breathing. The trees shouldn't be burning down. Okay. And then I saw on your website that you provide a lot of resources to restaurants. I saw the training videos. Why do you think it's important that restaurants and cafes be educated about being environmentally friendly?
Well, I mean, all businesses need to be environmentally friendly, but there are a lot of studies about the impact of waste from restaurants. It is estimated that your average restaurant produces 2,000 pounds of waste a month. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of waste. And a lot of that ends up in the landfill. And there's a lot of things you can do. EPA has something called the food hierarchy. And, you know, the first thing you want to do is, and with respect to food waste, is you want to feed hungry people. And some of our restaurants already are donating food to food shelters. You want to feed animals. We did a pilot here in Carson City where we had pig farmers pick up the food waste, and it was going to animals. There are industrial usage, like your reused cooking oil is picked up and turned into biodiesel. And we're still getting those resources in place. And when I say we, I don't mean Green Up. I mean, you know, the city and others. And then compost. And then EPA says that the last thing you want to do is put it in the landfill. And I know that the landfills are getting better. They do, for example, have ways to use methane gas to fuel homes. But still, on a regular basis, we really are looking to find other ways to get rid of
the
waste.
Composting thing as well, that's also crazy to me, because in England you get, well, here you have the city provides you with your regular trash can, the recycling trash can. In England you get those two, and then they also provide you with the mini compost trash can, and everyone in my entire city in England has one of those and uses it. And it surprises me that they don't implement the same thing here, and I wonder if that's something that the city of Reno or Sparks and Carson City can implement in the future.
It's something we should be looking at.
Especially with all the farming around here, it's like seems so wasteful when, like you said, with your pilot feeding it to, giving it to the pig farmers. I don't know why that's not commonplace.
Yeah, I would just say that in the US, we're a little bit behind Europe, honestly. And Nevada is catching up with some of the practices of other states, but Nevada is doing some really, really good work, but it's going to take a while to put all these practices in place. Maybe you can be the driver for the composting bins at all their restaurants. And I'm happy to talk to you about that. If you're ever interested, we can introduce you to some of the city folks if you don't know them already.
Yeah. And then how can individuals at home that are reading make changes to be more green and environmentally conscious? What would be your top tips?
Well, so the top tips are to participate in the reusable takeout container. Do not take the plastic utensils. The restaurants, we're asking the restaurants not to just automatically offer them, but to make you ask for them. So don't ask for them. Mm-hmm. Take your food home. You've got utensils at home. So that's another thing. Don't use plastic straws. Do reusable cups when you go to Starbucks. And Starbucks will allow you to bring your cups. So we're selling this cup for Nevada Day. This is for you, by the way.
Thank you.
And at Nevada Day, Green Up, in collaboration with the Nevada Day organizers, this is their logo on the front, we're selling cups, not because we want to make money off cups, but because we want people to not use a lot of plastic cups at the event. And you get $1 off from about 14 different establishments for your beverages, for your beer, your Bloody Marys, what mimosas, whatever you drink on Nevada Day. But there's a lot of these efforts taking place. And so think about that. And even your bags, most everybody has shopping bags that are sitting in their car. Mm-hmm. Well, when you go to Trader Joe's or wherever you're going, take them out of your trunk, bring them in, and definitely don't take plastic. And you know that South Lake Tahoe is banning plastic bags.
I was going to ask you, do you think that maybe, I feel like a ban straight off the bat in a place like Reno would be kind of extreme and people wouldn't like that, but do you think they should start charging people for plastic bags here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean it's a deterrent when you have to pay.
California's,
I mean, for some people,
doing it.
And you know what it does? Okay, just say that you forgot your shopping bag in your car. Well, every time you have to pay an extra couple cents, you're going to remember, oh my God, I should have brought in my shopping bag.
Exactly.
So if nothing else, it'll remind people that there are options and alternatives out there. What the public can do is support businesses that are doing, that have good environmental practices. So go to the restaurants that are green dining establishments, and you're going to see more and more coming up. Green Up with Reno Sparks, we started a green dining establishment program. And so there's Squeeze In in Reno. There's Grateful Gardens in Reno. There's all the Great Basin restaurants. And then there's Buenos Grill. And there's going to be more and more restaurants signing up for that. So do what you can do is vote with your dollars. Go to the restaurants that are green. Support them so that other businesses will be encouraged to go green.
Thank you for listening to this Our Town Reno podcast episode. Here we have stories about gentrification, life on the streets, the affordable housing crisis. Find us on Facebook at Our Town Reno, at ourtownreno.com, and on Instagram at Biggest Little Streets. Check back in for next week's episode or delve into our archives, and remember, help each other out.